Now shall we turn to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I'd like to read this first verse to get us into the atmosphere of this chapter. In fact, the first three verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I've read, actually, the first four verses of this particular section. This, by the way, is, I think, a very important section that we're in right now. It deals with prayer, and actually it deals with prayer as you'll find it nowhere else in the Gospels. Now, it may sound similar to another section, but it's not at all. Fact of the matter is, this little section here, a great many feel like it just doesn't fit here. It's an insertion, that it's a sort of an intrusion in the chronological account of the ministry of Christ. Well, you can't fit it in to a particular place here. I do not think that's essential. But as we come to this chapter, we see that this first verse suggests many interesting implications. You see, the reason his disciple wanted to know how to pray was because he saw Christ pray and he heard him. You see, it was the custom of our Lord to retire alone to pray. That was a habit of his. And this disciple saw him, evidently overheard him, and a desire was born in his heart to pray like Christ prayed. And do you know, friends, that the Lord Jesus is right at this moment at God's right hand, and he's our great intercessor, and it's still a very good thing to ask him to teach us to pray. I think that's a very appropriate petition for many of us to make. Lord, teach us to pray. There are many times in your experience, as I'm sure it's been in mine, I haven't known how to pray. I haven't known what to say. And you just say, My Father. And that's enough. He knows and he understands. Now, this man here, he was not asking just how to pray. He gave them that in the Sermon on the Mount. He's not asking for a technique or a system or an art form or a ritual. It's not how to pray, but teach me to pray. Not how to do it, but to do it. They wanted to pray as he prayed. You know, many folks say their prayers. It's sort of an amen to tag on to the end of the day when you put on your pajamas. I was brought up in a home in which I never heard prayer and never saw a Bible. And the first that I ever engaged in prayer, I went as a boy to a conference, and I stayed in a dormitory where the one in charge got the boys together for prayer, and everybody had to put on his pajamas and come, and we had prayer together. And you know, I got the impression at the very beginning that the thing to do was to pray when you put on your pajamas and that you couldn't pray any other time. In other words, your pajamas were sort of your prayer clothes, because I'd never seen it done any other way than that. But frankly, we need someone today to teach us to pray. We need that. Not to just say our prayers, but to really get through to God. And you notice he says, as John also taught his disciples. And that's a bird's eye view of John, is it not? It's an unexpected glimpse into the life of this man. It's a sort of a farewell look at him, because he'll not be before us again. This is the last picture that's taken of him. And what do we have? John was a man of prayer. They said, teach us just like John prayed. Is anybody going to say that about you or about me? All great servants of God have been men of prayer. And today, the barren life of Christians and the deadness in the church today is the result of prayerless lives. That's the problem today. Now, he gives them here what may sound to you like the so-called Lord's Prayer, but I believe that Christ didn't intend it to become the thing I hear in public service today. It's not a stilted form, and it's not for a public service. This was to be spontaneous. It was personal. This disciple asked, you see. It's to be like a conversation. And don't misunderstand me. I don't believe in conversational prayer where you meet in a group. But I think that when you and I go alone, we just should talk to God. After all, He's my Father, and I'm His Son. He knows me, and I don't think He wants me to put on airs and assume an unnatural voice and try to use some flowery language. I think He just wants me to talk like Vernon McGee talks. He doesn't want me to be wordy. I get so weary of hearing these wordy prayers today, and I think that sometimes maybe God says, turn him off. Turn the dial. I've heard that fellow say that before. In fact, he says it all the time. You know, the greatest prayers in Scripture are brief prayers. The briefest prayer is, Lord, save me. And it was said by Simon Peter. And let's look at a few things in the prayer. First part's worship, God's honor. The kingdom is God's will on earth. And the prayers, the privilege of the redeemed. You couldn't pray for God's kingdom without knowing what it involves. It means putting down of evil. It means putting up of the good. It means God's will in your life. There must be a desire for that. You can mouth these words, but there should be something back of it. And I'm not talking now to the unsaved. I personally do not think that this prayer is given for the lost. This is a prayer for the saved. There is a prayer for the unsaved, and it's, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And actually, he doesn't even need to pray that prayer. It's simpler than that. You do not have to beg God to do something that he already is doing, to be something that he already is. God is merciful. And he's able to extend mercy to you, and he wants to extend mercy to you. You don't have to beg him to save you. He will save you if you'll come to him. We have here a prayer, part of it, for physical provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Then he puts something down here that I can't measure up to. I may be wrong, but I don't think you can either. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Do you forgive everyone? My friend, if God forgave us on the same basis that you and I forgive, we'd never be saved. Here's the standard for us. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave us before we were forgiving. And it was when we were yet without strength in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You do not have to beg God to save you. He wants to save you. You don't have to struggle. Accept the salvation he holds out to you. Now, if you're a child of God, it may be that you today need to pray a prayer like this. It make you a man or a woman of prayer. That's what he wants to make of you. We don't need more preachers. We don't need more churches. And frankly, I don't think we need more missionaries. We need more people that know how to pray. And he's not through with prayer.